Welcome to our annual pre-Port Townsend Film Festival phone interviews with the filmmakers whose films will be shown September 15th to 17th, 2017. Jeanette Force and Jane Julian have done their magic again and got an array of films that will inspire, that will uplift, that will disturb, that will create controversy, and that will just make you see how art can really cast a light on life. Larry Stein and Marcia Pearlstein have spoken with these filmmakers, and we ask that you sit back, enjoy the interviews, so you can decide which films you want to go to. Jessica M. Thompson, writer, producer, director, Light of the Moon. It will be here at your Port Townsend Film Festival. This film is about a rape, but that's the least of it. Most of the film focuses on the long-term impact and the aftermath of the rape, how it affects the woman and her relationship.
And I realized that it was like more of the subtle ways that it affects you. And that creeps in that maybe we as an audience member don't realize at first. Like even the fact, I didn't realize you had to take HIV prophylaxis medication for 3 months and that makes you feel really ill. You know, little things like that, but that's a daily reminder of what's happened to you. And how does that affect you taking a pill every day and things like that? Or how do you, you know, get your very otherwise healthy sex life back with your boyfriend who has done nothing wrong, but you for some reason can't, you know, get that back to that healthy place together. So I was more interested in those smaller stories, that those smaller narratives that we don't hear so much in this kind of film. And I think that I hope that the film does that well in terms of showing how it affects someone in many ways. And also, I think that that also generates empathy in a way that maybe hasn't been done before. Because we all know rape's bad, but how exactly does it affect someone going forward and moving throughout the world and having to put her life back together? You know, a very successful part of a successful woman who's upstanding citizen in society, how does it affect her, you know? So that was what I was more interested in showing. I definitely didn't want to do, you know, The Accused again. That was done and Jodie Foster did it well. And I definitely didn't want to play into the same stereotypes that I think we've come to know from this narrative.
Did you have any, what we call in the field, secondary trauma working so deeply with this subject?
Secondary trauma, maybe we did. But I think Stephanie Beatrice, the actress, what we found is, of course, it was very emotional. The whole time was quite emotional, but it also drew us all close, very close together, this community on set. And I will say that it seemed to allow people to open up to us. A lot of the women working on the set wanted to tell us their stories. A lot of people who have heard about the story or seen the film at South by Southwest or at the Greenwich Film Festival have approached us and wanted to open up to us. And in that way, I feel very honored so that people feel like they can confide in me. Though I am not an expert, I understand that film and art can work in powerful ways. And so I don't feel like I've experienced trauma in that way. Sometimes I can feel very emotionally wrought after a screening because usually there is quite a few people who want to speak to me, and I am someone who's very attentive and very empathetic and try to give everyone my full attention when I'm speaking to them. So sometimes I can feel a little bit drained from the stories, but I'm also very happy and honored to have them shared with me, and I feel that's a privileged position that I'm in, and I am thankful that this film is allowing women and men to feel like they can open up and not feel victimized and feel empowered. So that's important to me.
I think this film triggers things in both men and women across the board because it's all about the relationship as well. That poor mm-hmm. guy, he can't do anything right. He's afraid to do anything wrong. I mean, quote unquote, in her eyes, because she's so overwrought. She's imperfect because she is difficult at times, quote unquote, because of what she's going through. So I think, in a sense, there's something for everyone. And just looking at the relationship, which wasn't perfect to start with, and I loved how you put that in a way, and
yeah.
And he stood by her, and I won't give away the ending, but you really take a magnifying glass to the dailiness of a relationship. And I think that that's pretty special as well and very hard to do.
That was something I was very, very, felt very strongly about representing, you know, the male perspective on this. And I'm very happy that men have come up to us after the screening and during the Q&As and spoken to me about how they now feel like they can speak to their partner better about this, or they just have a deeper understanding and they felt like they were represented on screen really accurately. And that also made me feel that's something that I definitely was aiming for with that character of Matt. And to get to that point, I had Stephanie and Michael, the two lead actors, you know, almost lived together for a week. We rehearsed together in the house, Betty's Bent House, in the film. You know, I had them cook dinner for each other and kind of just get used to being around each other, so that naturalness, that kind of daily relationship struggles that you discussed, comes across on screen. So that was something that was very important to me as well in representing.
You really did pay attention to detail, and I think that that's the strength of the film. And again, a number of the smallest details put together can be quite profound. It seeps in the profundity because it's just so regular and simple on some level. Mm-hmm. So what else are you up to? Because you're quite talented, and I can't believe you're missing a beat doing many projects.
So fortunately, out of South by Southwest, I managed to get two managers from Captain Perron representing me, and I've done what they call the water bottle tour of Hollywood, where I had, I think it was 70 meetings in 2 weeks, which is all very exciting. So out of that, you know, I'm working on my next TV series that I'm hoping to get up and running, and also my next feature film, but nothing can be revealed just yet. But yeah, there's some really great things in the mix that will be happening hopefully in the next 6 months.
And this was your first feature film, am I correct?
As a writer-director, yes, but I was an editor on two feature films before this.
And you acted a bit before, did you?
Yes, I acted. That's how I kind of started out. I acted from the age of 12, and I have a very tiny role in this film, and I have a tiny role in all of my short films as well. With my writing and my directing, I really feel that it is invaluable to how a director talks to an actor and how you communicate your thoughts. You need to understand their dialogue and their vocabulary and their language. And I think that that's something, unfortunately, that directors are losing more and more. They're getting very caught up in kind of the CGI and special effects and things like that, and forgetting how to communicate with actors and translate scripts to story for the actors. And so that's something I highly value. So I use a lot of my acting background for that purpose.
Well, you're what they call an actor's director.
I hope so.
You really know how to hold the actor in a nurturant way and sort of understand their process. And you encourage a lot of collaboration. You have respect for actors as well.
Oh, deeply.
You know, I can also see this film in colleges and in high school, you know, health classes.
Yeah, so that's actually what we're doing. The film comes out in late October in theaters across America, and we'll also be doing a college campus tour starting in September. So, that is the plan. We really hope that it goes far and wide, and we'll be partnering with the UN Women to do that, United Nations. So we're very excited about that.
You're not missing a beat. It's an important film because this is also a conversation they're having on more and more campuses. Of course, many schools across the board have health education classes. This would be just a central prong in those classes. So I'm not the first that's thought of it, but it's wonderful
I'm glad you agree that we're doing the right thing.
Oh, absolutely. This is one of those films that will truly make a difference. And I think you sort of had that in your heart when you were putting it together as well. That's the most uplifting thing you can say about a piece of art.
Thank you.
That people really will respond to it and learn. I'm just very big on the subject of educating each other and being gentle with each other and all the things that we're fighting in this culture right now. So
absolutely, and I think that's where artists and art has a big piece of the puzzle, you know, that we have to step up to the mark, you know, and make statements and help people empathize and understand and educate people. And I think that's a very big part of what I do. So I'm glad that you feel that way too.
Yeah, and what lifts it to art is that you don't clobber people over the head with the message. You insinuate the message, and you allow the audience to really put their own perspective onto the message and really think. And therefore, I see people walking out of the theater having conversations about this. That elevates the whole thing. Well, Jessica, this has been a pleasure. I have one final question, which is there anything I haven't asked you that would help people make lines around the block trying to get into this film that they should know?
No, except that we've got an incredible cast. We have Stephanie Beaches, who you know from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They're in their fifth season now with Andy Samberg as the lead. Michael Stoll David is about to wow us all in Narcos season 3. He plays the boyfriend, and Narcos comes out in a couple of weeks. You've got Conrad Riccamora in there from How to Get Away with Murder and Kathy Curtin from The Leftovers. So it really is an incredible cast, and the acting is phenomenal, and they worked so hard and so well together. So if you want to see some of your favorite kind of up-and-coming actors who I'm sure are going to make big splashes in the next couple of years doing an incredible job and see their talent on the screen and see it first before anyone else sees it in the theaters in October, then yeah, I encourage you to come out and watch.
Well, thank you, Jessica M. Thompson, writer, producer, director, Light of the Moon. It will be here at your Port Townsend Film Festival. We are very pleased to have spoken with you. Thank you again.
Thanks, Pasha.
Another one of our film festival pre-interviews before the festival. And each year we bring somebody who's a worker behind the scenes that gets the festival up and running and has spends the whole year doing it. And today we have with us Chris McFall. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Marcia.
Chris is one half of the team of Pat and Chris McFall. They're our technical gurus. We've in the past interviewed Jane Julian, our programmer, of course, Jeanette Force frequently, Jan Holiday, Victoria O'Donnell, and today we have the pleasure of being with Chris McFall. Chris, let's just jump right to the chase. What got you interested in working with our film festival?
Well, I thought you might ask me that. Actually, it's kind of a silly, fun story. 22 years ago, when I met my husband, we have had 22 years of Friday night date night for every single Friday, and it was always dinner and a movie. And we were such movie-ophiles, whatever they're called. So having come to Port Townsend, I knew about this festival, and we never made it to the festival. So in 2014, I said to Pat, I'm just going to volunteer because it will guarantee we're in town during the festival. I volunteered. I walked in the door. They kind of got that I had some technical skills, and wow, the rest is history. Yeah. I got sucked in for doing all different kinds of work, and then they discovered that I had a developer husband, and then he got sucked in. Actually, the very beginning in our first year was sadly the year that Jim Ewing was ill, and as he was getting more ill, he's the person that has created the software for passes. They needed to find someone who could do the pass runs. And so Pat got trained quickly by Jim. And then every year we've added additional and written additional software for the festival.
You also are the person that creates the beautiful program, the print program, and what a job you do on that. And there are so many moving pieces, and yet you can handle them all.
It's a big job. I'd never dreamed that I would have a new career in the film festival world, but that's actually what's happened to both Pat and I.
Well, yes, speaking of that, we're your first.
You are absolutely our first and our favorite and are always the ones that our heart is in.
And then came Sedona, and now what are some of the others?
We also now have, we're working with Bend Film, have picked up our software, and Heartland Film Festival in Indianapolis, and we have a little festival in Naples, Florida, that all saw our software thanks to Jeanette, and who said, wow, we want that. So it's become a career even.
It's wonderful, and you travel so much. I never know when I call you on your cell where you might be, and it's wonderful. I do want to say to the listening audience here, I'm a reviewer, and in the time Chris and Pat have come to the festival, what I really love about the way you both work is that you get feedback from us about, in terms of the rest of the group, they'll say what's hard for them, and then the next year you'll come up with a... So talk about that process and sure. and how you came to that.
It's been kind of a fun ride, is that the reason we created the reviewer software that you're talking about was because the first year that I actually also volunteered to be a film reviewer, I realized the pain that was going on in the background. They were using Excel spreadsheets and things were just all over the map, and it was a frustrating experience. So I mentioned to Pat, you know, we could make this better. And so we created the reviewer piece of software, which is what these other festivals have picked up. But then after that, we also realized that one of the issues was having people stand in line, and they didn't know what was going on. So we then created the real-timely seats software, which is available now. We started in a beta version, and now we are actually, you know, sort of advertising it. It's just kind of a fun thing to be able to use the expertise we have to design things and then to write the software, which Pat is amazing at, to create solutions for the festival.
Let's pivot back to you, the person. What brought you to Port Townsend? When did you come?
Oh, I've always loved Port Townsend. In my prior life, we used to come here for weekends, and we were divers, and I dove out by Fort Worden and all that. Always knew that this was a really special place. And my closest friend moved into Cape George, and we would visit her. Just saw the wonderful community that was out here. So in 2008, we actually purchased a home and thought we might rent it out, but it was so special. We just came in every few weeks from the Kirkland-Redmond area, which is where we have been living. And then we moved in full-time in 2011. And this has just been such an amazing community. And the film festival world is just precious to both of us.
And I bet you run into some of the same people at the different festivals. And of course, you get a heads up on the movies.
Absolutely. It's really been fun working with other festivals, because now I'm beginning to know filmmakers and see a lot of films that are coming up. And I can even help suggest some films for Port Townsend, which is kind of a special treat for me.
What was really special for me this year is I got very excited about a film, which will remain nameless as a reviewer. But I sent out a thing, and of course, you had already seen it, and Jane and Jeanette, and we were sort of all on the same wavelength. You and Jane, Julian, and Pat go all over the country, and so you really get a sense yeah. of what Port Townsend will love.
Right.
And as you work on the program, do you see themes, especially in the documentaries?
That's such a good question. Oh my God, the docs are so wonderful. I just love them all. Sometimes we have themes. Actually, you know, in the past few years, we received so many eco about the dams and the various parts of things that are ecologically oriented. And then there are times where we get, you know, a smattering of LGBT items. And I think filmmakers sort of just do some of that, what's tends to be important at any given time. But there's always variations, and it's the beauty of documentaries. They're
well,
and so
it's,
powerful.
There's a lot of diversity. This year I see a lot of social justice themes.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
The quality is getting better and better of the things we receive. I just want to say to the listening audience, if you're used to movies as narratives, give the docs a chance. And we have some full-length docs that really talk about international and diverse. One guy, El Clasico, was born in Iraq, moved to Norway when he was 14, went back to Iraq, lived for 2 years with the folks that he was filming, and the film took place from Iraq all the way to Spain. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's incredible.
The range is just enormous. So you came to Port Townsend. What was your day job back in Kirkland?
Well, Pat and I met at Microsoft. Uh-huh. So it was kind of fun. They put us both team leads, and they put us in an office together. It was like, you know, it was sort of meant to be.
A Petri dish, the Microsoft Petri dish.
That's right. That's right.
And you're here to tell the tale. What would you like the listening audience to know about this year's festival, since you've had a really broad view of all the details in creating the program?
Oh, just that it is just so wonderful. Just take in everything you can. Seriously, I was someone that came from the world of narratives. That was what I thought films were, and occasionally I would see a documentary. Since I've been involved in the film festival world, the documentaries just knock my socks off. They're just so powerful and so well done. So definitely do some of the documentary route. And also listen to some of the filmmakers. If you have time, stay for Q&As. Those are really wide opening. That, you know, that one thing that Pat and I do every Friday night after our movie that we go to, we come home and we get on our iPhones and we read the details about the film. We look at the cast and the crew, and we look at the making of it, and we look at critiques, and we have our critiques. It's all part of the wonderful world of film. So I suggest you do that.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing, and I do the same thing, and I do like to see the film first to form my own opinion, and then to fill it in with all kinds of other things.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
What are some of the other tasks you've taken on behind the scenes at the festival? I just want the listening audience to know, from the day after the festival, everybody rests, but from 2 days after, they're on getting ready for the following year's festival. It's a year-long process. And so what are some of the other things you're up to over there?
Well, definitely what happens shortly after the festival is we get ready for a party called the Gala now with the Academy Awards. So that's a big piece. And at the same time, Jeanette is getting ready for Women in Film, which is now a smaller festival that we have in April that has been amazingly wonderful. This last year's Women in Film was just fabulous. It's just a 2-day festival that happens at the Rose and the Rosebud. But then we start the process. We actually open the doors for filmmakers to submit their films as of January 1. So the films start to come in. This is when Pat and I start taking over with our review software. We bring those films in, and when we have a good enough size, which is usually about the end of February, is when we start reviewers, and our reviewers get into the job. And then it just goes on from there. When people start buying passes, I'm the person that enters passes in the software, and it just goes on and on and on.
Is there something I haven't asked you that you would like to ask yourself aloud and answer?
Yes, there is just one, and it would be sort of like, what would I hope for the film festival? I really have to say, I so would love to see a younger population of folks come. A matter of fact, the other day, I met a couple of young women that used to work at a school I used to work at ages ago in Redmond. They were in town, and I tried to recruit them to come work at the film festival. It's like, it would be wonderful to have some young blood. We are all wise in our age, but it just having younger folks around and having them be part of this, volunteering where they can, would just be super. I would love to have to see some of that.
Well, and I'm going to ditto that, and with more detail, is that when you start off as a volunteer, you think you're going to do one thing, usher at a theater, but then it sort of grows on you, and you end up doing more and more and more. So, listening audience, if you know young people who like film or don't yet know they need to like film because there's so much on their little iPads and iPhones, give them a kick. Tell them, just do one small thing, and then they'll be hooked, and then they'll bring all their friends.
Totally agreed. I would love to hear that happen.
I love that I get to interview one person from the office of the film festival that does all the preparing and creating and organizing and everything. The spirit is so amazing among all of you. Could you say something about the team building and how you are a really extended family community?
Yeah, that is something that's, you know, hard to verbalize completely, but it is so wonderful to be among the film folks and to be in those offices, and everyone in there is kind and sweet, and I've never really worked with a group of people that have been that endearing in all respects. So it's just a cool place to be. I never dreamed I would end up spending this much time on a volunteer situation and having it become a career almost, but it's just a lot to do with the folks that are in the office.
Yeah, I mean, I've been connected to nonprofits all our adult lives, and there's often backbiting intention. I've never seen a more cohesive group. And in these times, it is so nice to have kindness and gentleness. And even if there's mistakes, people, you know, cover for each other and give good feedback and then improve. Everybody's sort of on the same page, wanting to have the best film festival possible.
Absolutely.
And I would just add that Jeanette Force really creates this atmosphere. She's kind of a natural nurturer, networker, and a person that gets things done. So that's an amazing combination.
Totally. That kind of love is top down, and Jeanette really has it for all of us. And it spreads.
So, Chris McFaul, and you had it for me, because I'm the techno nitwit of the station and the film festival, but now I know how to do one or two things. Thank you, Chris McFaul.
It's been lots of fun. Thanks so much, Marcia.
You've been listening to Larry Stein and Marcia Pearlstein interviewing filmmakers extraordinaire whose films will be showing September 15th to 17th at the Port Townsend Film Festival. Special thanks to production coordinator Mike Schlexer. Special thanks to Larry Stein, co-conspirator with Marcia for the film interviews, and Tim Quackenbush for pitching in and helping out when he was needed. Go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can.